We're back on WPTF. We're trying to get everybody's name straight. See, there's Rufus and Keith and Paul, and
nobody remembers.
I'm Mike. Jeff over here. Jeff, what are you doing? Be honest. What are you doing?
What are you saying, Neil?
He's sleeping.
No, he's not sleeping.
What do you think an engineer does?
We did have an engineer one time who would sit and read for a while, and he would nod off.
Oh, I think that
said a lot for this show.
I think he's still around.
No, he's not. He's passed on to the great engineers' land beyond. But I appreciate it, Jeff. Appreciate you paying attention to everything that goes on the show.
Anytime.
Your mother's interested, but
absolutely.
You're not.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Chris.
Where's Chris?
I'm just kidding.
Where is Chris?
I think he went back over there. He's checking on his NC State season tickets.
Oh, we'll never see him again.
Absolutely.
So Professor Herb is with us. Herb, good morning, sir. Did you send me any more photos here?
I did last week? I sent you a photo a few minutes ago. Good morning, Mike, Rufus, and distinguished guests.
All right, now I'm looking at them. Let me see here.
Okay.
I'm looking at a tomato sandwich, Rufus.
Is that a Rufus?
No, I don't know what. That is a Rufus tomato.
Yes,
there.
Sir.
Oh, what a
beauty.
Yes,
it looks like a hamburger. It looks like a
bagel.
Bagel. Yeah, it looks like a bagel.
But it looks like that would cover it.
Yeah.
A pretty good sized tomato.
Would you eat a tomato sandwich with on a bagel?
I would.
Okay.
Yes, I would.
All right.
Not on rye.
What about a pumpernickel?
Not on pumpernickel. Herb, he's got this sort of affliction wanting to eat tomato sandwiches on pumpernickel.
Pumpernickel, rye, you know, 3-seed bread, grain bread. That's all good.
Oh, God.
I got a colonoscopy coming up next Friday. I can't eat any seeds. Too much information. All right.
Mike, good
Sir.
Morning again.
Good.
Let me get
start over.
All right. So what is this plant? Is that that's Paul Cypress.
I can tell you a few things about colonoscopy, but let's save that.
I don't know if we should talk about that.
Let's start again.
Yeah, let's save that for another time.
All right. So this photo some type of cypress?
It is. Can I speak about the tomato first?
Yeah, go ahead. You have the floor.
Okay.
The gentleman from Durham is recognized for however long.
Thank you. The Rufus tomato, I actually got one tomato on the plant. Hopefully there'll be more. But anyway, I put it on the bagel because it's a perfect fit. The Rufus tomato is kind of a sweet, it's not a tart tomato, at least this one was not tart at all. An absolutely beautiful color on the inside.
Keep talking.
It's a good tomato. I would say that it's worth the money if you can get them to grow, quite frankly. Now, back to the cypress. As you may have remembered a little bit, I grew up on the water, and my backyard has cypress all cypress all over the place with hanging moss. The cypress that you see in that picture is in my yard. I have several of them that I brought back to remind me of home. You can use them in your yard, but I have them growing in containers, and that way you can control them. Also for bonsai. The other thing in topic with today is that we built lamps with those roots, those protruding.
The knees.
Yeah.
Yes, the knees. That's how they breathe, as you probably already mentioned. But we cut them down and make them into lamps, and you also can slice them and varnish or stain them and put them. People don't do it anymore, I don't think, but put them on your table, on your coffee table. Absolutely gorgeous. So those are about three ways that I've had them over the years. In a container here. I've seen them in the yards around big places, but I don't want that. I just want the smaller version. And also the tabletops, and they're absolutely beautiful.
If you put the knee in a container, then it's a rather large container.
Oh, no. You can't put the knees because the knees won't grow. The knees are simply roots. What happens is they have a small round ball, which is the seed, and the seed falls down, and it can float, and then it hits the bottom, and then it starts growing, usually in shallow water. Because it can reach the soil pretty easily. It's kind of, shall we say, a muck. They don't just grow in water. It's kind of a muck swamp area.
Yeah.
And okay. looking at the plants database, the NC Extension Gardener database, there are some compact varieties available. Compact cultivars, Cascade Falls is.
So when you say compact, how big?
Well, there's Lindsay's Skyward is one of the cultivars. Tree Narrow Columnar, 25 feet tall and 10 feet wide. So that could fit in an urban landscape.
Yeah, how about that? Well, I think you got a great idea about how the use of cypress, though, a herb.
Okay, well, you all stay cool as best you can.
Yes, sir. We shall.
I'd like to report on the Rufus tomato herb. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I sent you a photo of it, Rufus.
Oh, thank you.
It's a great tomato.
I did not know there was a yellow one of that color, so I've learned something.
It's evolving.
Yeah.
It's evolving, just like you have over the years.
Oh. All right. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Thank you, Herb. Pneumatophorus is the knees. That's what they're called. Oh, I hear a siren. Somebody's coming after us here. I better clam up. I mentioned colonoscopy, and the cops are coming after us here.
Well, the way you fight it, they're going to make sure you get there.
The FCC, yeah. Maybe that's it. I don't know. I'm fascinated. They're on Glenwood Avenue, there are a bunch of bald cypress that are planted in a couple of shopping center areas. Mm. But I don't know why they chose those, but they're just so interesting. This past year, the fall color was so pretty in Raleigh and everywhere. Mm. And even the bald cypress had a brighter brownish yellow than they normally have for fall color, because they don't have a lot of fall color. But and the trunks of those things are just
they're wooded. Spectacular.
Yeah, it's just I'm really surprised you don't have one growing up out of that bog or something, Rufus, at your house.
There might be. I'm not going down in there.
They're old political enemies down there. That's what we think. But I don't know.
Well, here comes my friend.
Yeah, that's right.
And his gardening wife. Well, hello there, folks.
Must have brought you something to drink. And what do you got in there?
Oh, my Lord, look at that. Those little tiny tomatoes.
Oh, okay.
I love them.
Oh. Yeah.
And he's got
like
some
gum drops.
Now, what are those tomatoes down in there?
Rufus tomatoes.
They're Rufus tomatoes.
Rufus tomatoes. What color are they?
Here,
multicolor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tell us about
them. They're multicolor. I wasn't impressed.
How hard were they?
The donut peaches he was telling you about. He has
Yeah. Okay, well, that's
a Rufus tomato, fully
that's
ripe.
That's good. Now, that's something you can put on the counter, or is
that's
it ready to go?
That's not a
or
tomato.
Can you put it on the counter for a...
Same plant.
That's interesting. It's more of a diminutive tomato, I think, than we were thinking.
Well, everybody's doing much better.
I figured it would be kind of overpowering.
Yeah. But that's... those are two best ones I got off the plant. I maybe got eight tomatoes total.
Yeah,
the rest of them are not used.
We're getting mixed information about the Rufus tomato.
The Reverend Dr. Herb just said he got only one.
Yeah.
Hoping for more.
I put too much work
into it. Have you ever had a tomato?
And his looked like that on a bagel with mayonnaise.
Well,
so I don't know.
Something to look forward to.
Well, yours is, you got one that's
ripe, I kept leaving them on a plant. You'd think it's not ripe.
Yeah, it's.
I wouldn't. You just told me it was ripe.
It is totally ripe, but because if you leave it in longer, they start splitting.
Oh, how about that?
So it's kind of a mottled green and red color.
He told me.
As long as your skin is not like that.
Yeah.
He told me when he gave it to me that it would be a pink. The skin would be a pink.
Mm.
Well, Gerald is going to be on the show next week.
Oh, really?
We'll be in the studio, as far as I know, and... So we'll have to interrogate him.
Well, that's so funny. We were just talking with Dr. Herb.
I'll put the microphone down.
About the Rufus tomato, and you bring a good example. Now I'm getting better and better and better. Now, here is something that people are amused
about. Tell us about those, Rufus, because you are the expert.
A donut peach.
Donut peach.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen one, Paul?
I have not.
Keith, you ever seen one?
I have never seen a donut.
Well, that's called a donut peach, right?
Doesn't taste like a donut, though, does it?
No, it's a wonderful.
It's real sweet.
My friends from Taylorsville brought some down the other day, and I was not aware of them. I said, what in the world is that?
Is that something you can get?
Donut peach.
Can you get those at the farmer's market?
Yes.
Okay.
Sugarloaf Orchards.
Mm hmm.
From Taylorsville, they've got donut peaches there.
Those are so good. Those are from
Harris Teeter. Those are
from where? Harris Teeter.
$4 for $3.
Okay.
I didn't know they had those there. How about there?
Let me just see.
What
color? Crack it open like that, and the seeds like.
You be like Bob Barker. Be like Bob. Hold your mic up there a little bit. There we go.
Okay, you just crack it open and you eat the whole thing. The seeds like a large BB. So you just pick it out. It's cling free, of course.
Oh, it's got little seeds in it.
Teeny tiny seeds.
Oh, yeah. I eat, unlike some people.
You eat seeds, too?
Like your scaredy cat, no. But I eat the skin. The peel.
It makes my lips tickle. All right, we're at Rescue Wood Rehab, and we've got to take a break. It's 9:19. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener, I think, here on WPTX. Back on WPTF, Mike Rayley here.
I'm very excited to be back because...
Keith, that's Keith.
Yeah, you guys made me wait to eat this peach till we were back.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, I mean, I believe strongly in you know, just restraint.
I don't have that.
And it's, you know, it's a good thing to
get some napkins. I'm rolling up my sleeves.
Veronese?
That's absolutely correct.
This is a donut peach. We're at Rescued Wood Rehab in Fuquay Varina. And one of our listeners brought some peaches, some donut peaches, and Rufus has been talking about these because they have them. Some of the vendors at the farmer's market have them. And Keith.
I got napkins. Thanks, Marty. And Rufus says...
I would need a bib or an apron or something.
You go.
Because I would... No, that's all right. I'm not going to eat. I don't eat while I'm on
Rufus
the air,
says so. You got to eat it with the skin, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I don't know... if I agree with that, but go ahead.
Let's don't deter it.
I always depend. Yeah, go ahead. I mean,
I'm going to try not to get.
Let's don't let him be.
Don't be tentative about it. Just go ahead and bite in. There you go. That's right. That was a big bite there. So
isn't that fabulous?
Yeah.
Pull your mic down a little bit and tell us.
Sorry, I pulled the mic out of the way.
I understand. So that I can get we don't my get peach juice on the mic.
This is the most delicious Harris Teeter donut pizza that I've ever had.
I would, yeah,
I don't know if you can hear me chewing, but.
Boys and girls, let's get those from the farmer's market
definitely,
from now on.
Definitely. Yeah.
Some people call them Saturn peaches.
Yeah. Saturn peaches?
Saturn peaches.
Okay. How about that?
How about if we call them a Saturn donut peach?
All right. Well, at any rate, you like it, huh?
So
how does it compare with others? It's sweeter.
It's very sweet, and the outside, the furry part that Rufus said to eat, it's kind of like a.
So it's more like a nectarine.
No, it's much sweeter.
Well, I mean the skin is a little slicker than a regular peach.
No, it had a fuzz.
Yeah.
It.
Okay.
No, it feels like it's a pie crust holding in the rest of the peach pie. Like, this is all I need.
Oh.
If you wouldn't mind running down and grabbing a couple
I would like a little crust with mine. I'm sorry. I just.
Well, that's a better conversation than talking about your cold mouth, Nick.
Well, I did. I just kind of, it just kind of popped up there. I just,
there's
I
no
didn't.
Seeds in
the
it.
Subject, just never know what you're going to hear here. And now I can't. Oh, Dick from Durham. Dick, good morning. You're on the Weekend Gardener.
Hello, Mike.
Yes, sir.
I have a gardenia question.
Gardenias?
Yes. Our gardenias, we have them in the front of the house, and they're getting a little bit too large. When is the best time to prune them, and how much should I prune them?
I would prune them right after they bloom. I mean, there's some. Rufus and I have some that will.
He probably should have already pruned them.
Yeah, I would have because you start. I know Ann used to talk about you start getting into August and you start worrying about cold, nipping cold damage.
Yeah.
Of course, it doesn't get real cold anymore here.
Well, but gardenias are even a little bit more sensitive than most plants to cold damage. So I would shoot for getting it done by June, probably at the very latest.
Yeah.
I think you're too late, Dick, just
to be safe.
Okay.
That normally with things that bloom in the spring, you like azaleas, most gardenias, although there are some gardenias and azaleas that bloom again in the fall, but still. Rufus, I know with azaleas, you still prune them in the spring, don't you?
In the spring.
Yeah. So
there are some double blooming gardenias now that bloom twice a year. I assume the one that we're talking about now is the late spring bloomer.
Yeah, and with anything that blooms in the spring, you would normally prune it before it starts to set its blooms for the next year. And so by the 1st of June is usually what most of the horticulturists say.
Yep, I think that's the way to go.
All right,
I hate to disappoint you, but you didn't want to get out there and do that work today anyway, did you?
Well, in the morning I would.
Okay, and it's still hot.
Yes.
It's 80 degrees when I walked out of my house this morning. So,
yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Dick. Have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah. How about that? That's
our friend Tori.
Tori, pick up the mic here.
We need to talk to this man.
First, why would you want an autographed picture of Rufus? So.
Oh, he's famous.
He is famous. That's a good idea.
I think is the word that you're looking for.
My father was a Chevrolet Buick dealer. Before that, when he first started out, he was a Ford dealer. I don't know how that evolved into the Chevrolet Buick. He went to a different city. But at any rate, he drove race cars very early in his life. And you would think that he was driving a race car the rest of his life in riding with him. He used to scare people to death. Do you have that tendency when you get on the highway?
Yes.
Your wife says yes. You say no. All right. Let's have an honest answer.
Well, I need to get where I'm going, but
Yeah, I know what you, mean.
That's the best answer I've ever
heard. I know. Well, that's good, and it all depends on the way you do it.
You're safer on the racetrack, really.
You are. You are. I mean, you're equipped for getting banged up. But, yeah, so how long has this been a lifelong thing almost? Most race car drivers have been.
Been racing since 1972.
Mm. 1972.
Oh, Lord, that's right. Wow, okay. Right in the middle of Watergate.
So have you raced all over the state or just mainly in this area?
Several states, really.
Really? Wow. Mm. That is, so what make of car have you driven and what divisions? Oh, okay. All right, we got to go for the news. Tori, I'm sorry. Dadgummit. All right, well, stick around. We'll be back with more from Rescued Wood Rehab here on the WPTF Weekend Garden. We are race car drivers and... We're back on WPTF. Rufus has a smorgasbord of food over here.
He's sharing.
Yeah. Keith is, who's sitting with us here.
I'm not afraid to try something.
Donut peach that our listeners, Tori and his wife, brought.
Yeah.
So nice. We have such nice people.
He brings me a Dr. Pepper every time we're doing a remote. And it's a cold one when he comes.
And he's a real live race car driver.
We need, next time he comes,
I don't know many
we need
of those.
To talk to him again.
I'd love to. Yeah.
You should have him on as your guest.
Yeah. Well, I used to fill in on Sportsline about 40 years ago. So,
well, Mike, I got to make one note.
Well, Mike, you have the floor.
One note. This coming Tuesday marks the 25th anniversary of my first time as a guest on your show.
Well, by golly, and, how about that?
And, all right. And I just want to thank you.
Yeah, you've hung in there that long.
I want to thank you. Every time I come on the show, I'm like, I wonder if he's going to invite me back.
Why would I not? My gosh. Yeah, I'm just we have some very loyal.
I'm very grateful. It's been a blast, and I look forward to another 25 years.
Yeah. Oh, boy, I don't know that I'm. I'll be 73 in September. 25. I don't
you
know, man.
We got faith in you.
Don't worry, I'll be there.
Well, I hope you are. I really do.
The Dr. Pepper will get you there.
Another caller drops, but we have Steve.
Now what do they drop?
Howard, call back. Howard. Yeah, well, Howard called us last week with a problem, and apparently Joel says he's got some good news. So we'll see about Steve. Steve, I assume this is Steve and Garner.
Since, yeah, that's me.
You have your Saturday report. Are you in the car, so where are you going?
We're coming home from Waynesville.
Would y'all have a late night or something? A lot of drinking at a club?
We don't drink.
Okay, well, I didn't. So you were at a club. Where?
Is that against the law? We were in Waynesville.
Okay, so have you been on the road all night?
No. Does it sound like I've been on the road?
No,
all night?
I mean just be careful who questions you.
Well, Waynesville's 4 hours away. Is why Mike is a little bit.
That's I don't know. I mean, when did you leave? Where are you now?
In a tunnel.
Must be in the old Waynesville tunnel. Well, I guess we're not going to get a Daylily report. Y'all, Steve, call back. We lost Howard and Steve.
I got Howard back.
All right, we got Howard back. Howard, I hear that you have some good news, but please refresh us on what the call was about last week.
Okay, I called last week to wish Rufus happy birthday.
Right.
And I had a hot topic, a hot story to tell you about jalapenos and
big
they had grown. They grew
right.
up. They were over 50 feet. And I think it was Ann told me, she says, quit feeding them so much. I was giving them that miracle growth, so I just quit all that. And she says, prune them at
least. Oh, that was Nelsa. Nelsa Cox Nelsa. Told you. Yeah.
Okay. And she says, to prune them at least a foot from the bottom, the leaves off, and to keep them watered. And this Saturday, I'm glad to call back and say, you should see my jalapeno plant. It is full of jalapenos. It's just like by Monday, I had, I don't know how many of them that kept on growing, and they're just about ready to pick now. They're big.
We rarely get callers who are as excited about their plants as you seem to be about your jalapenos. Now, what do you do with Rufus has a deal with a relative, a judge.
My brother makes knockoff Tabasco, but Howard, my problem is I cannot get Tabasco peppers to get ripe enough before the first frost. Maybe I'm doing something wrong.
Miracle Grow.
Well, I do that.
When are you planting them?
Early as I can get them.
Yeah.
Well, Howard, have you grown any Tabasco peppers?
No, this is the first time for jalapenos. And we're actually
That's why you're so excited about it.
Oh, and we put them on the deck in containers. And I thought, you know, they were going to come up about a couple of feet. They are up over 6 feet tall now. And they're huge.
What?
I had to tie them up three times. And my brother came over yesterday. He said, I don't see those jalapeno plants you were talking about. He walked out. He said, cool, they're as tall as we are.
I think this is a plant that's in the book, The Food Chain.
I think so.
You might need to save some of those seeds.
Yeah. Where did you get the seeds or the plants?
They were already about 6 inches when we got them, and got them at one of the places that sell plants, you know, the jalapenos. But they were called gigantic jalapenos. And, yeah, you're going, okay, I don't know.
I wonder where they got the name.
Pardon me?
I wonder where they got the name gigantic jalapenos.
Wow.
Because it shows the picture of them being gigantic. I said, these are going to be big as a cucumber. And
did they meet your expectations? Obviously, your friend was impressed, but...
Now, we hadn't pulled them. We're going to see how big they do get. But, you know, when you get a good success story like that, and the lady was so nice about telling about it, I wanted to tell you, it worked. A week later, it worked.
Well, I am so glad you called us, Howard.
I think you're going to need a follow-up.
Yeah, man.
Taste.
Our pickup truck to haul them away.
Howard, thank you so much for calling.
Well, thank you. And
I need
to take some pictures and send you a couple pictures.
Oh, you do that.
All right.
Stand next to us.
Okay, thank you.
We'll be back. All right, we're back on WPTF at Rescued Wood Rehab, and we have had so much fun this morning, and we're so pleased that Bree Arthur is coming. Bree Groves, of course, best-selling author and great horticulturist. She's so busy. She was on the show. She just kind of popped up. We were at the farmer's market one time and left her card, and I think we talked to her for few minutes, and she was that was years ago, and she still looks so young.
She
must have been really, really, really young. But if you follow her on Facebook or know about her or read her books, I've got one right here called Gardening with Grains, and you may not have thought about that. We'll talk with her about that and a lot of the things. She just got back, it looks like, from Michigan, and I saw a fabulous some photos of her with at a nursery, I guess it was, or a friend's house or something. I don't know. At any rate, so many hydrangeas, just gorgeous hydrangeas, and they probably are really happy up in Michigan, just like tulips and other things. Much more happy roses, much happier in Michigan than they are here. So we'll talk to Bree. She's coming up around 10 o'clock, I think, and we're so happy about that. But Rescued Wood Rehab is, if you're interested in wood, making something from wood, having somebody else make something from wood, picking out wood, smelling wood.
Anything wood related?
Wood related. Come, yeah. This is certainly the place, and it's a hangout. too.
Well, it's clear that there's a lot of expertise here in the shop, too,
yeah.
From the staff. Can answer questions you might have about, I think probably even if you're a beginner woodworker like me, you know, if I wanted to come in and try something.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
we
guys
have that all the time. Yeah.
Give me all kinds of advice. So
we have guys that will sit down at a table and they'll draw out their, like while they're in the store, they'll be like, okay, I want to build a bookcase. And we'll ask them a couple questions and then they'll draw a little plan and then, okay, this is what I want to do. Now what? Okay, you're going to need this, this, and this. And we figure out board footage and talk about joints and all that stuff, and we're happy to do it. That's just fun for us.
Yeah, building a bookcase is not just putting two pieces of wood on the side and standing them up and then putting a piece of wood on top and nailing it in.
It can be, but it won't
It can
last
be,
long.
But it, yes, yes.
That's the
Even
that's
if
the
you put part. Shelves in yeah. it and nail those in, it's still not going to last and last and last.
No, there's always a little more to it. And it could get simple to the point where you are or overly complicated where you're doing, you know, dovetail joints or butterflies just for decoration. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Dovetail's nice. My wife always checks when we've bought furniture to check you know, take a drawer and pull it open to see if it's dovetailed.
Yeah, I have gotten it down where it's easier and faster for me to do the dovetails with the router jig, not by hand, than it is to do it a different way.
There's so many tools, new tools.
That's why I like woodworking.
And I think, and one thing I think is that some of the new tools and technology is making woodworking more approachable for a beginner, and to be able, I mean, this is me from watching YouTube videos, to be clear, but
that's how everybody starts.
Yeah, but it looks to me like you could get into it and produce something that you'd be pleased with, you know, even as a beginner, whereas, you know, years ago, I think maybe there was more of a barrier as far as, not that it's not, doesn't require some skill, but it just seems like some of the tools and techniques available today can facilitate things a little better.
We just tell everybody that the only way to get better is just do it.
Mm. Yeah.
If you screw up,
right.
So what?
Yeah.
Right.
As long as you don't lose any limbs.
That's the only thing that matters.
Yeah, that's that it really is. That is
like
the biggest biscuit I've ever seen in my life, Hooks. That's a two-hander there, boy, I'll tell you. Don't drop any crumbs in here.
Yeah, that's why we have the dog.
So Amber has cleanup.
She'll
huh?
be happy to.
She's batting cleanup. At the farmer's market today, we're going to talk to Monica Wood coming up. Canary melon taste test.
Mm. Oh, those are good.
Yeah. So, and you can come by and.
Well, I've never had a canary melon. What is?
I don't
that?
Think I have. I don't know. That's kind of what it looks like. I could probably look
like
it
a
up.
Lemon.
It's like a. Well, it's cantaloupe or honeydew.
Yeah, yeah, it's
but
it's like that.
The yellow fruit.
Yeah, it's a little.
That's delicious.
Cantaloupe,
very
like,
sweet.
I like cantaloupe, but I don't like honeydew, and I know that.
Honeydew's sweeter, yeah. I think, and.
Hello, sir. Oh, Bree just walked in.
For all the women, no matter who, always go. They go to Rufus and hug him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way it all leaves it. So we'll talk to Bree coming up, and we'll also talk to Monica Wood. So, Joel, we'll just talk to Monica right out of the news here, I guess, at 10 o'clock. All right, Frank, good morning. You're on WPTF.
Morning, Mike.
Yes, sir.
I understand that Mike and Rufus are dedicating your garden show to colonoscopy today.
Well, we were certainly considering that as we were driving over today. We were Rufus is just putting his headphones back on. Frank was wondering if we were thinking about dedicating the show to colonoscopies today, or if I said we were considering that. How do you think that would be, Frank? It'd be very informative, I think, wouldn't it?
It would be interesting.
For a while.
So I actually called to talk about cypress trees and rotten wood, if I may.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We got the rotten wood expert over here, Keith.
All right. So let's focus on cypress trees for a minute. My understanding is there's an extinct bird called the Carolina parakeet that was common in coastal Carolina. I'm talking about North Carolina, South Carolina, and maybe north of here somewhat, when the Europeans came from Europe, and they hunted them into extinction. But why is the connection is between the animal and the cypress tree? And yeah. What I read is that this bird, there'd be big flocks of them, they'd eat either a seed or a nut of a particular cypress tree, and then if they'd fly 100 yards to another tree and defecate, and the seed would go through the bird into the ground, and that's how these cypress trees would spread. Have you ever heard that?
I have not. I'm just looking at a Carolina parakeet. Very colorful bird.
It was a lot pretty plumage, and Europeans like that, so they killed them all.
Oh, in the 20s it went extinct?
Is that, extinct?
That was a carrier pigeon that they used to take excursions and trips to kill.
The only parrot native to the U.S. has been extinct since 1920 due to habitat loss and hunting.
Mm-hmm.
But that does sound plausible. I mean, you know, if you're driving through the country and you look on an old fence row, you'll see cedar trees popping up. And that's because a bird ate the fruit from a cedar tree and deposited the seed there while perched on the fence.
I've always wondered why the cedars grew along the fence line and under the fence of the wires.
That's it.
We're right back into colonoscopies.
There we go.
There you go. Hey.
We got everything eventually comes around to that.
You got an all-inclusive show there, sir.
Well, we try.
We bring it all together.
Some people like it, some people don't.
All right, so let's go to rotten wood.
Yeah.
So my wife and I bought 29 acres, and we talked to the Forest Service, North Carolina Forest Service. And I'm not a farmer, but it was row crop. They said, what you need to do is plant it in warm season grass, which is, for simplicity, it's a variety of grasses that grow chest high. It's prairie grass. It was all over North America, and the Europeans came and replaced it with row cropping and fescue. Uh-huh. Fescue's right. Not North Carolina. Fescue's a European grass. Now, I said that. You need a field edge constantly is trying to creep into the grassland. It tries to lean over and come in. So you're constantly managing the field edge. And by cutting down trees, what the Forestry Service taught me how to do is how to kill a tree. So, because you don't want to shade your grass, your desirable grasses.
Yeah.
So what what you're doing is creating a habitat of tall grass for animals and then a field edge. And some animals like that field edge. They'll toggle back and forth, grass, trees, and brush, and then back and forth. And that's particularly turkey like that. And
quail like that.
I think quail liked it, yes. They jump back and forth. So now that I've worked on that, what the Forestry Service taught me is don't burn anything. They said, you got a rotten tree standing along the field edge, leave it, because the rotten tree starts rotting, the bugs come, then the bigger animals come. So a rotten tree along a field edge, or and you think about it, in the woods, is a desirable thing for a natural habitat because it attracts bugs, which follow up with animals, etc.
Yeah, great habitat for woodpeckers. It's called, the technical term for that, a standing dead tree is a snag.
I know.
And, and It is feasible if you have enough property to leave a snag standing. You certainly don't want to leave one standing if you've got a smaller lot where it would become a hazard when it falls, because it will fall eventually.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you've got a large lot and you've got some wooded areas and you've got a snag or two, as you say, that's great habitat, and woodpeckers love those.
Yeah, well, my brother, Dr. Joe Edmiston, has a doctorate in botany, and expert on the cock-headed woodpecker. That's the only place they will live, in a snag, like Paul says.
Yeah.
And great practices. They totally think it will go extinct if you don't have some of those snags here and there for the cock-headed woodpecker.
Red cock-headed.
Yeah, wrong.
Red cock-headed woodpecker.
Red cock-headed,
yeah.
It sounds like a mouthful.
Yeah.
So, the other thing, but other animal that likes cavities and rotten wood is the wood duck. And the wood duck was threatened back in the 30s, and what was happening is along the close to water, standing tree is their favored nest box. But people cut down the standing rotten wood, it's the first tree to go when you buy a lot or you buy property or whatever. And so they were losing their habitat along the waterways with the rotten and dead trees. And but they found out they'll come to a nest box. And so they've had a renaissance, the wood duck, because if you put out a big box, it's a pretty big bird, they'll come to the nest box and reproduce on the water's edge. So,
kind of learning all kinds of stuff this morning.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
About wood and wood and all kinds of forms.
Rotten wood.
Too. Yeah,
right?
Rotten wood.
Yeah. So not all rotten wood is bad wood. And according to the average Joe, it's bad wood, and it's the first tree to be cut down. But if it's not close to the house, you leave it, and it creates natural habitat for bugs.
Well, Frank, thank you so much for calling and asking those questions and also informing us about so many things.
Well, now you know all I know.
you knew all that I knew a long time ago, about 39 years ago.
So are we going back to colonoscopy now?
Yeah. I'm sure I'll learn more.
The bar has kind of been raised.
I'm sure I'll learn more on Friday.
Well, Frank, let me assure you that there's one thing that's advantageous about old age. After about 75, you don't have to do them again. And I haven't had
my happy days are here
again. 75.
But you know what? They're not that bad.
No.
That's easy for you to say.
It's preparation. They knock you out for the procedure. It's just a preparation. All right.
It's not that bad.
We need to take a break. Thank you, Joel.
Goodbye.
I'm glad we have a break. All right, Frank, thank you so much. Bree Arthur will join us, and also Miss Monica at the State Farmers Market. Coming up in the next hour here on WPTF, we're at Rescued Wood Rehab in Fuquay Varina.